Hi there, welcome along. Thank you for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted to be joined by my Racing Post colleagues David Jennings and Graham Rodway, as well as Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly, to look ahead to yet another superb Saturday of racing. About a zillion runners hurtling down the roadie mile for the Cambridgeshire. And then we've got two really properly mouthwatering Group 1 juvenile contests that are going to throw up tons of clues for next year's biggest races. We've also got the race that catapulted the mighty Frankel on the road to stardom. A couple of good heats at Haydock. ITV have also got a group race at the Curra. And then we'll see what else the lads fancy on Saturday and Sunday. Tons of stuff to get stuck into. Let's start then with probably the hardest race of the weekend, or is it? Let's see what the lads fancy. It's the 3:35 at Newmarket, and it's the Bet365 Cambridgeshire, a traditional handicap highlight of the autumn over 9 furlongs. As usual, millions of runners, hopefully millions of extra places, Niall.
Yeah, we're paying 7 places here. What, there's 29 runners at the moment, so it's quite a good offer. Tempest heads our market 11-2. Sinjari 7-1. Derive 9-1. Ilarab 9-1. Sirbusker 10-1. Montatum 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
Thank you very much. 7 places, 29 runners. Now, we must start with David Jennings because he was undoubtedly the star of last week's postcast. Well done, DJ. Winner after winner after winner. I hope the bank balance is suitably enlarged and I hope you can also keep it up. Who are you going to go for in the Cambridgeshire?
Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, it was a great weekend. The one I've liked for this race for quite a while is Derivo for Sir Michael Stout. He's one of these horses that every time you watch him run, you think, oh, next time he's going to be the real deal. And maybe he just won't produce what he's capable of ever. But I still think he's quite lightly raced. And that mark in 98, like, if you were told when he won a Pontefract last summer, when he beat Hats Off to Larry, he was so impressive that day. If you were told then that he'd still be rated under 100, you would have absolutely laughed. Like, Hats Off to Larry, I think, is rated 84. Now, the fourth, Addis Ababa, is rated 90. And here you have Derivo, now rated 98. And I just think with Derivo, Bruce, I think last time at Doncaster was a sign that it was just almost there. It was a very quick front. And he basically made his move to win his race 2 out. And straight off her moves, basically nabbed him on the line. He kind of came on his blind side and beat him. Straight after that race, I said, Derivo wins the Cambridgeshire. Now, he's been 16s, 14s. He's very short at the minute with Paddy Power at 9-1. I just think the way he travels and the way the ground is likely to be, just a little bit of cut in it, it's going to be perfect for him. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Derivo here, Bruce.
Okay, who are you going to go for? Graham Rodway.
Yeah, last week was like hell, wasn't it, really, for me, sitting there watching all of my tips run terribly while DJ just kept banging in the winners one after the other, sitting there with my hands across
Saturday,
my
man.
Eyes. And in this
Saturday.
Race here at Cambridgeshire, I fancy the same one as DJ, so hopefully he's on the same red hot form as this as he was last week. Derivo. So 29 runners and we're both on the same one. Derivo, yeah, it was a very eye-catching run, wasn't it, at Doncaster last time out. Travelled like the winner, shot to the front, and then just got mugged by Strait of Hormuz. Now, Derivo's dam, Pavlos, was a sort of similar sort of horse to him, had loads and loads of talent, but Sir Michael Stout sort of struggled to get it out of her. But that, like DJ said, that was like a hint that Derivo might be capable of winning a big race like this. Looked like the sort of horse who would be really well suited by a big field, strongly run race. And Ryan Moore, who loves a hold-up ride, he'll be holding this one up right to the last minute, and that will suit Derivo as well. So, I'm quite hopeful of Derivo. What, 7 places? Can't go wrong, can you?
Well, you certainly can. It could finish in one of the other 22 positions. 2 votes for Derivo. Niall, who do you fancy?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd get to me without anyone putting this up. I'm quite keen on one at a price. It's Walhan for Ian Williams. He's a very shrewd trainer. I just think this has been laid out for it. They got him from France, very decent form. He started off here off a mark of 97. They got him then the handicap very quickly by running the Royal Hunt Cup and then over 6 furlongs at Pontefract. He then ran at Ascot, going off 100-1 in a handicap. And the race just needs to be watched back. I don't think you'll ever see a 100-1 shot in a handicap travel like this. He was held up near last. His jockey basically sat on him until they were inside the final furlong. maybe he was hampered slightly, but when he did eventually got out, he rounded the whole field to finish second behind River Nymph, who went on to Bolton again on his next start at Newbury. Walhan then went to York, ran really well behind Montatum, but was slowly away, running on well again. He was prepped for this at Ascot, where he's behind Tempest, so he travelled like a very good horse, and he's better off that rival here. He's drawn and won, which is a bit of an issue looking at the last few years, but looking at the going stick, I think it might be the place to be. Yeah, look, we're seven places. He'd be a max each way bet for me. I think we're 16-1 or so. I'd be shocked if he's out of the seven.
Thank you, Niall. It's interesting you put that one up, because I had a look at this race earlier and I couldn't quite understand why Wildhan gets a decent pull with Tempest for a length and is 16-1 when Tempest is 11-2. DJ, there's a lot of kind of, isn't Roger Charlton shrewd, which yes, he obviously is, and couldn't this improve, built into Tempest's price, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I think he's one of these that'll drift on the day. You find with these races, and Niall will tell you more about it, like the kind of sexy horses are priced up very, very short, midweek, and they're the ones that everybody seems to be talking about. And then come the day, there'll be money for so many horses that, like, he's 11-2 at the minute. If he goes off shorter than that, I'd be absolutely flabbergasted.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, again, though, we saw last week with the Air Gold Cup, didn't we? And Nahar, he got punted. So who knows which way the market will go. Okay, so Niall goes for Walhan. And DJ and Graham are both very keen on Derivo. That is the Cambridgeshire. Let's do the two-year-olds next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right then, three fantastic two-year-old races at Newmarket on Saturday. First up, the 150 is the Judmont Royal Lodge Stakes, the Roll of Honour for which includes the mighty Frankel. I'm not sure we've got a Frankel in the lineup this year. There's only five runners, but it's very, very competitive. Niall, what's the latest?
Yeah, so Cove is our 5-2 favourite. New Mandate 3-1. Gear Up 100-30. Ontario 7-2, and Pleasant Man is 7-1.
G-Rod, I think it's fair to say that the Cheveley Park and the Middle Park, which we will be doing next, are far, far better and will be far, far more relevant when it comes to next year's big races. But this is an interesting heat, isn't it? Only five runners, but it's tricky.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way at this stage, doesn't it? Although, as you say, Frankel won it, what, 10 years ago? And 3 years ago, I think Roaring Lion won it. And then last year, Royal Dornock won it, but Kamiko was second in the race, and of course that went on to win the 2000 guineas. So although at first glance you look at this and think, well, this is a bit of a poor relation compared to the two group ones, it might not actually work out that way judged on recent years. And it's a real puzzle, isn't it? Because you're kind of half trying to guess what some of these trainers think of these horses. Because I mean, Clive Cox has had a fantastic season with his juveniles. He's like 17% with them. I think £1 bet on all these two-year-olds this year is over like 150 odd pound if you back them all. And he's got Cove in it. I think that's a place in Ireland, isn't it? I think I've been there, actually.
It's Cork, isn't it, DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cove, it's in Cork. Wouldn't be too far from our Irish editor, Richie Forrestal, though.
Yeah.
I think Roy Keane was from there, I seem to. Or he certainly played for Cove Rangers.
Isn't it something to do with the Titanic down there? Isn't that where the Titanic stopped? I don't know.
Very good, Rob.
Yeah, I'm very
impressed. Yeah, very impressed.
I've been to the museum there. Yeah. So anyway, back to the horse. he's got a Dewhurst entry. So you think to yourself, well, Clive Cox is running this horse. He's got loads of good juveniles, and he thinks this horse is good enough to hold a Dewhurst entry. So he must be pretty good, but on form, he's got a little bit to find with the best of them. Gear Up's got a £4 better performance on Racing Post ratings in the 18 last time. And Mark Johnston's got a great record in this race. He's won it three times. And his two of his three winners were Mr. Bailey's in 1993, who obviously went on to win the 2000 guineas, and Jukebox Jewelry, who was a real stable legend, wasn't he? And he did win a Group 1 as well. So Mark Johnston runs his better two-year-olds in this race. And, on that evidence, I'm going to take a chance on Gear Up. But it honestly wouldn't surprise me if any of them won.
Okay, thank you, Gerard. After your tip in last week, I wouldn't really be mentioning the Titanic. There's an obvious link. Niall, what are you going to go for?
I really like a horse here, though he has a flaw and it's putting me off having a right bet. The horse's new mandate for King Rafe, as you call him. His flaw is that he's mad keen and he has been in all the starts. He managed to settle a little bit better last time. That's because they went very fast at Doncaster. His time that day was over 3 seconds faster than the two-year-old maiden on the same card over the same distance, which is about 15 lengths, which is quite a lot. It was very fast time overall, basically. When he learns how to settle, I think he's going to be a right tool, but whether he'll be able to do it in this field, I'm just not 100% sure, though at least there's decent pace on with Ontario and Cove. The other one I liked is Ontario. Aidan O'Brien has just been winning this stuff late with similar horses, but I'm just going to side with New Mandate, maybe a saver in Ontario.
King Rafe and Frankie Dettori, the dream team. How can you look beyond that? DJ?
Yeah, I have a theory on this race, Bruce, and I like Ontario for Aidan O'Brien, not because I think he's the best horse in the race and not because I think he will be the best horse in the race. I just think it's the right race for him, and Aidan O'Brien knows the type of horse he needs to win this race. Like, if you go back, he's won it for the last 2 years at Mohawk and Royal Dornoch. Neither of those have gone on to be anything special, but they were battle-hardened, tough two-year-olds. And this race over a mile with the rain coming at Newmarket is just going to turn out into, I think, a survival of the fittest. I think the most battle-hardened horse will win this race, and that's why I think Ontario will win. He's got into a few battles already. He passed the post first to Fairy House and was subsequently disqualified for just interference with the runner-up that day, Rev Duval, who's useful enough. Like, his form isn't fantastic, but last time at the Curra, he was second to Max Sweeney in the futurity. He was third, sorry. Cadillac, who is now a leading fancy for the Guineas, was second. And it was on bottomless ground. Van Gogh was sixth. Again, that form was Frankton Irish Champions weekend. I just think O'Brien has so many of these type of horses. He's able to pick and choose which is the right one for this race. And I think the likes of New Mandate, certainly Cove, Giro, Pleasant Man, who I liked on debut as well, I think they're all going to be nice horses, but I just think this is the right race for Ontario, and I think he'll win.
Thank you very much. Right then, 2:25 to Judmont Cheveley Park, a 6 furlong Group 1, 8 runners, and a brilliant, brilliant race in terms of quality and competitiveness. Niall, spin us through Paddy Power's latest betting and then tell us who you think's going to win.
Yeah, well, Luke, this is our MBS race, so it's money back if your horse finishes second, third, or fourth. Dandala is our 11-4 favourite. Miss Amulet is 100-30. Sacred is 4-1. Happy Romance, 9-2. Uncle Tom, 6-1. Alcohol Free, 10-1. And 18-1, bar the other two. I was all set to put up Aloha Star, but she's come out this morning, so I've switched to Uncle Tom for Richard Fahey. She's been a horse I've liked since her debut, when she did extremely fast sectional to win at Thirsk. I think it was the fastest run there this year, the last time I checked. I backed her in the Louder, where she was still very green. She had a tricky draw and she missed the break. So she still ran on really well to finish third. And I think she can potentially improve past those two horses to finish in front of her, Miss Amulet and Sacred, who run here. She'll handle a bit of ease. I think the ground was good to soft last week at Ayr. And provided that race hasn't left its mark on her, I think she can improve here. And I think she's a decent bet, 6-1.
Coulton for Niall. David Jennings, who are you going to go for?
I absolutely love Alcohol Free in this race, Bruce. I think 10-1 is a massive price. I really liked her on debut at Newbury when she won. Won going away at the line from a horse that has since won in the nursery. And last time in that Dick Poole at Salisbury, I thought she travelled as good as Happy Romance. And just coming to the furlong pole when Happy Romance kind of made his move towards her inside, Rob Hornbury had a whip in his right hand and she just veered to the near side rail and just lost valuable momentum, lost about 2 or 3 lengths in Happy Romance. And then when he got his whip into his left hand, which was the correct hand, and she got rolling, she was eating up the ground on Happy Romance and she was only beaten 3/4 of a length at the line. I thought watching that race, Happy Romance had done all her winning. She had loads of experience, whereas Alcohol Free was always going to be the one that was going to improve for the run. Loved the way she hit the line. I think the uphill finish at Newmarket is going to play right to her strengths. Ushie Murphy takes over from Rob Hornbury, which is a bonus as well. And to me, I think that form will be reversed. And she's doubled the price. I like Alcohol Free. I think she's a really nice filly.
Excellent. Graham Rodway, who's your selection?
Yeah, I like the look of this race because I think it's one of those races where everyone is going to willfully overlook the obvious. And the obvious winner is surely Miss Amulet, who was very, well, she won very easily, I thought, in the Lauer. I know you can make excuses for those in behind, and a lot of people are. You know, Sacred saying, oh, Sacred come there to win it, then didn't see it out or didn't show the right attitude. Yes, some cold firm was slowly into stride and was miles behind, then flew home. So I suppose you could, you know, a lot of people are making arguments for why they could reverse the form, but I don't really see why. I mean, Miss Emilet was 4.25 lengths ahead of Colfam. She was well on top of Sacred at the line. We know the form is strong because Sacred was beating nothing in the Flying Childers next time, and Colfam won nicely last week in listed company. I just think it's just head and shoulders above the rest here, Miss Emilet, and I think she'll win easily.
Okay, Graham, thank you very much. Right then, so we've got a difference of opinion in the Cheveley Park. David Jennings goes for Alcohol Free. Graham Rodway goes for Miss Amulet. And Niall O'Reilly goes for Coltum. Okay, let's move on to the Middle Park. Takes place at 3:00. Is sponsored by Judmont. Group one for 2-year-olds over 6 furlongs. 8 runners. Hopefully they'll all stand the ground. So we have an each way bet. But this really is a race I'm looking forward to. There are so many colts here who could be anything. There really, really is a brilliant, brilliant air of intrigue about this race. Niall, take it away with the show. And then DJ can tell us who's going to win.
So Method and Minzal are 11-4 joint favourites. Lucky Vegas 100-30. Supremacy 9-2. Tactical 12-1. The Learjet 12-1. Lipizzaner 14-1. And Charterhouse is 40-1.
DJ, I think I'm going to be agreeing with you here.
Oh, what a race. What a race. Do you know what? You're not, Bruce, because I know exactly what's going to happen here. You fancy Lucky Vega. And you think I'm going to do likewise because I said 20-1 was a big price for the guineas. But I'm actually not. I am absolutely head over heels in love with Minzal. When I watched his debut, very few horses I put into a tracker, just ones that I mightn't just remember the name of or I might be doing something. And I've only got about 3 or 4 in it. And the minute Minzal passed the line at Ascot first time out, he went straight into the tracker because I said that is a Group 1 winner in waiting. What he did at Salisbury next time, yes, Niall is going to point to the time and say the time wasn't great. But visually, it was as impressive as you will ever get. It was effortless. He won on the bridle, stretched away from horses that weren't that bad, and the form has worked out okay. And last time at York, in the gym crack, he basically tugged for half the race, and he still had enough natural ability. He was slowly away as well to absolutely cut through the pack like a knife through butter. It was again, like at Salisbury, it was just effortless. He just has this natural, raw pace. That means he's going to be the last horse off the bridle here. I'm convinced of that. And I just liked what he did inside the final furlong at York. It was a horrible day. It was lashing rain. It was windy. And he still won really, really nicely. He's the best 2-year-old I've seen this season. He's not going to stay a mile. He's a 6-furlong horse. This is a 6-furlong race. And I'll be bitterly disappointed if Minzal doesn't win.
Thank you, DJ. Graham Rodway, how do you see this one panning out?
Yeah, it's a good race, isn't it? It's quite a tough one because you've got a bunch of really impressive winners all lining up against each other. But, the race that Minzal won last time out, it's really not worked out. And the same really for Supremacy, who won the Richmond Stakes by a long way last time out. I think only one winner has come out of them those two races. And it might be because... they were just poor races. You know what I mean? The way they won them was good, but they were poor races.
The horse who finished last in the race that Minzal won a Group 2 to Flying Childers next time.
Yeah, but that was tailed off. What was it called? You Better Believe It, or whatever it's called. That was tailed off. It was beaten 21 lengths by the Horse in Eighth. I mean, there's no way that You Better Believe It has run to form that day. And if You Better Believe It had run to form, it would surely have given Minzal more to think about. Now, so you got those two have got the form, and then they haven't got the form. Like, they've got the group form, but it's not really group form. It's quite poor group form. And then you've got Method, who's got listed race form, but it's quite good listed race form. Does that make sense?
Nope. this sounds like a streets track.
It's not group form, but it is strong listed form. So it might be group form. The second horse, Mighty Gurkha, has won a group race next time, you see. So although Minzal and Supremacy have won group twos last time out, I don't think any of them beat a proper group horse in those group races, whereas Method has only won a listed race, but he did beat a group three winner. So even though it wasn't a listed, even though it wasn't a group race, it was really a group race in all but name.
G-Rod.
Nature. Nature is the word to come for there.
G-Rod, has your mum or like your gran got that tea towel that explains the laws of cricket? Like when you're in, you're out, and when you're out. That was kind of a little bit like your reasoning there for that race. So are you telling us that method is going to win, yeah?
No. I still think supremacy might win. Even though, like, I've just rubbished the form. I do think that the horse won very, very well at Goodwood. It won by 4 lengths, never ever looked like losing. And even though it was a poor group two, I think that it might still be better than these.
Okay. Supremacy. A beautiful case made for supremacy by G-Rod there. Niall, follow that.
I thought for a while there I was going to be backing up Graham's point there, but it just went completely.
What was his point?
Yeah, look, I'm going to be putting up method. Look, it's a really tough race. the type of race I tend to love. My head was initially telling me to put up Lucky Vega because he's got the best form, but I'm just not gone on him for no real reason. I just don't think this is going to be his best trip. I think he's going to be more like 7 furlongs a mile. I just found myself drawn to Method. He's a horse I really like. Very impressive both starts. He looks an 8-8 sprinter with plenty of gears. The times from Doncaster and Newbury have stood up really well over the summer. They're both amongst the fastest 2-year-old times recorded at both tracks this season. And he looks open any amount of improvement, having only had 2 runs. The ground is a bit of an unknown, though everything in his pedigree suggests he'll handle it. His half-brother, For Pleasure, has won races on heavy, and his sire, Memphis, was second in a Coventry on soft ground behind Caravaggio. I'm not a brilliant judge of actions, but everything about it, to me, tells me that he might actually be better with some cut in the ground. Minzal is an interesting one. DJ mentioned that he might knock his time from Salisbury, though going into York, I was actually very keen on him, and Frank would be able to confirm that, so it's not after timing. I thought he was visually very impressive there, but when you really dig into it, the form and the time aren't really there yet. The time was nothing special. The form hasn't worked out yet, so it just makes him opposable in this good a race for me. I'm not keen at all on supremacy. Just think he took advantage of a bad race that hasn't worked out. So yeah, it's method for me.
And Niall, are you working on the basis of a bit of cut tomorrow? I think we're expecting rain this afternoon at Newmarket and then maybe again tomorrow afternoon. But I mean, it's in the lap of the gods, isn't it? It's one of those ones where if you look at the weather map, there's just clusters of clusters of rain everywhere. So it might miss it completely and it might get it.
I think it's going to be good to soft at best. I think they'll get some surely, and being it's kind of cold, is it, in comparison to what it was a week ago, as you were saying earlier.
The weird thing about the weather up here, because I'm not far from Newmarket, it's like Bruce says, it seems to be fine, then suddenly you get a real heavy shower in it. The thing with it, though, is that I was just reading the quotes from Martin Mead about method, and he seems to be worried that the ground might go heavy. Now, I can't see it being that soft. I mean, there's a little bit of rain forecast, but surely it doesn't get heavy, especially at Newmarket. If there's a track which takes rain well, it probably would be Newmarket too, wouldn't it?
Yes, that is, though, another kind of variable to throw into the mix, because we just don't know what we're going to get yet. OK, chaps, thank you very much for your thoughts on Newmarket. We'll do Haydock and the Curragh next.
So doesn't each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in the reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back then to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, David Jennings and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. 3 more ITV4 races on Saturday to look at next. Starting with the 205 at Haydock Park. It's the Close Brothers Handicap over a mile. And these two races at Haydock certainly lack the quality of what we've just talked about at Newmarket, but they are wide open all the same. Niall, what's the latest betting here?
So Danya's our 3-1 favourite. Alternative Fact is 5-1. Key Victory 11-2. Just Hiss 7-1. Milton Star 8-1. Hayad 8-1. And 9-1 bar.
G-Rod, take it away, my friend.
Yeah, now having just discussed the weather, I'm going to hazard a guess that it might be soft at Haydock. Now, it is currently good to soft, but they've obviously had plenty of rain. And unlike Newmarket, Haydock is obviously not a course that does take rain particularly well. And it does tend to get very testing there. And I think that soft ground will be ideal for Daniel. This looks an absolutely terrible race, with the exception of Alternative Fact, who is the main danger, and also loves soft ground and has got some really good form at Haydock. But Daniel is the improving horse in the race, Owen Burrows' runner. And I thought that he's coming on quite nicely. Last time out, he sweated up quite badly before the start at Ripon and didn't get the best of runs. I think he might have gone close to winning if he'd had a little bit more luck in running that day, Daniel. So I'm going to take Daniel, and I will back Alternative Fact as well for a saver. But yeah, maybe a straight forecast on the two. But Daniel, for me, is the winner.
Thank you, G-Rod. Niall?
Yeah, I've been eyeing up a horse all week for this Milltown Star, so I'm happy it's been declared. Really caught my eye at Goodwood, two starts back on his first run of the season, travelling really well, but just not really sustaining his run on bottomless ground behind Cold Stair. He then ran at Doncaster, though never seemed to really get a clear run of things over seven furlongs, though running on quite well at the line. That race was won by Hakiki in a time that ended up being the fastest seven furlongs run at Doncaster for the St. Ledger Festival. And that week included races won by Wichita and Chindit. So I think it was a strong handicap for the grade and will work out in the long run. Milltown Star shapes as if the step up to a mile will really suit. And I think this is a pretty weak race. So at the prices, yeah, Milltown Star each way.
So have you kept Milltown Star on side? You're 8-1. Is he bigger elsewhere?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, and David Jennings, who's your selection?
Oh, I'm sick. Mine is Milltown Star. If you actually go back to this horse's form, he came over for the big sales race at the Curra last year and actually finished ahead of a filly called Champers Elise, who's gone on, obviously, to win the Matron. I just think with Milltown Star, I think they've been reasonably clever here and they've managed to not run him for the first half of the season, because I think he does need cut in the ground. Like he won a listed race at Sean T last year on heavy ground, and heavy ground in France, as we know, is absolutely bottomless ground. The time before at Newmarket, again on soft ground, was just beaten by Tomfra. And I think with Milltown Star, I think they've been very clever. Didn't run for the first couple of months of the year, came back behind Cold Stair at Goodwood. And you'd imagine that day, like, that wasn't the day for Milltown Star. And it was quite eye-catching. I wouldn't worry about the performance last time. Again, made some late headway. I'd say they're just waiting for the ground to get soft. And I think it's going to be very soft here. American 99 is very manageable for Milltown Star when you go back to some of his form from last season. Yeah, I could see there being a big plunge in this horse, probably helped by Niall putting it up, but I'm all over Milltown Star here.
Thank you, chaps. Let's look at the 240 at Haydock, the Close Brothers Motor Finance Handicap, over five furlongs. Niall, what's the latest from Paddy Power on this race?
Yes, so Came From The Dark is our 11-4 favourite. Count Dorsey, 4-1. Dark Shot 7-1, Ainsdale 8-1, Militia 8-1, Glory Fighter 8-1, Lord Ridderford 9-1, and 10-1 bar.
And we'll stick with you, Niall, for the first tip.
Look, Came From The Dark, shaped like a very well handicapped horse last time, and I think he can reverse placings with Count Dorsey here. He's 2 from 3 at the track, with the other one being a second last time. So he obviously goes very well here, which just counts for a lot at Haydock. His trainer wasn't in brilliant form around that run. He's in much better form now. So yeah, there's plenty of positives. James Doyle takes the ride, and provided it's soft enough, which I think it's going to be, I think he'll win.
Niall likes the jolly. Do you agree, David?
Yeah, we're going down together, Bruce. I'm a Came From The Dark fan as well. Another key thing for Niall to note is he actually lost a shoe at Haydock last time. And I'd imagine in that sort of ground, it does make a bit of a difference, because I think on that ground, shoes definitely do make a big difference. And through the race, you probably thought he was going to win most of the way. Like this Count Dorsey, I've been putting this up all year and it's been run absolutely shite. And Tom Siegel put it up in his Pricewise column last week. And I text him and I was like, what the hell are you at? This horse has completely lost its way, because I fancied it at Ascot and everything. And lo and behold, it comes out and wins. Maybe it just needed the ground to turn. But I think this form would be reversed. Came From The Dark has only gone up £3, whereas Count Dorsey has gone up £5. And I think it's enough for the placings to be reversed. I think Came From The Dark, like Niall, it'll do the business.
Graham, do you agree with the lads?
No. This is another one of these horses that Ed Walker trains, isn't it? That always goes off favourite and very rarely wins. Now, I find that Ed Walker trains a lot of these types. They sort of catch the eye of punters and they always seem to run well, but then they finish second or third. I mean, what's that one that we've been tipping all season? Is it in the same colours?
Paradox.
Caradoc, yeah, that's a similar sort of Ed Walker horse who always goes off favourite and then disappoints. And yeah, came from the dark. He's just like him. I couldn't have him. And yeah, I think Count D'Orsay will confirm the places. So opposite to the other two lads. Yeah, he's been running poorly all season, but he has to have soft ground. I mean, he's all his poor runs were on good and good to firm ground. Last time out, he got his conditions for the first time since last year, and he beat Came From The Dark over course and distance. And I think that took his record on soft ground to 4 wins from 5 starts. And he'll definitely be testing at Haydock over 5 furlongs there. So I'll be fairly confident that Count D'Orsay will worry this Ed Walker horse out of it.
OK, thank you, Gerard. Let's switch over to Ireland and focus on the Curragh, where ITV4 show one race. It's the 3:15. It's the Alan Smurfit Memorial Beresford Stakes, a Group 2 over a mile for the two-year-olds. And not surprisingly, Aidan has the favourite, Niall.
Yeah, he does. High definitions are 7-4 favourites. Wakud is 9-2. Ace Aussie 15-2. Ides of August 8-1. Brazil 9-1. Rev Duval 9-1. And 14-1 bar.
And David Jennings, what's the best way of making money out of this race?
I think focusing on the two Ballydoyle horses. I think High Definition is quite classy, and I think Brazil is actually better than we've seen so far as well. Like he talks about Brazil in a similar way to Mogul, in that we haven't seen the best of him yet. And Aidan keeps talking about these horses that are in second gear, and he can't get them out of second gear, but there is a third and a fourth gear to come. And we've seen it from Mogul in France last time. He's saying similar things about Brazil. So I wouldn't be surprised if Brazil outran his odds, but I know for a fact they do think a lot of this High Definition. Wayne Lorden rode it first time out and really was well on top of the line. Obviously a late juvenile to appear out from Ballydoyle. Form of the race is okay, but you just imagine it's going to take this giant leap forward from first to second start. But I think it'll be an Aidan forecast. I think High Definition will beat Brazil or vice versa.
Thank you very much, David. Graham Rodway, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, this is just the sort of race where I like to back the Aidan O'Brien second and third strings, because a lot of the times in these races, group races restricted to 2-3 year olds, where he doesn't know a lot about them, 9 times out of 10, either the stable jockey gets it wrong, or the second jockey gets it wrong, or the market gets it wrong. And I just don't understand how High Definition can be 7-4 and Brazil can be, 8-9-1 when it appears to me to be very little between them. Brazil appears to be improving, typically of an Aidan O'Brien horse, and just it looks the type who could make a huge step up. And to be honest, it wouldn't even surprise me if Sir Lucan ran well, a massive price for the yard as well, because that was well beaten first time out of Killarney, but it's just the sort of horse that could fly in at a huge price for O'Brien. It's just the sort of race where you look at it and you go, oh, O'Brien's got the 7-4 favourite, but he's running 2 or 3 against him. You don't want to be backing that 7-4 favourite because, well, I'm not going to say they never win, because they do win more often than the bigger price ones, obviously, but you won't get rich backing them. You'll make money back in the second and third string.
Thank you, Gerard. Saloukan is 33-1. Padre Beggy, of course, no stranger to riding massive price. O'Brien, third, fourth and fifth strings. Niall, who wins this?
Yeah, I quite liked Wakud for Dermot Wells. He won on debut at Garran, and while the race hasn't worked out brilliantly, the second still won next time out prior to running behind Cadillac at Leopardstown Irish Champions weekend. I priced the race that day, the one that Wakud won on debut at Garran, and I noticed that Wakud had all the entries, like all the Group 1 entries for the rest of the season, so I put him in quite short. We ended up being extremely weak, like he'd need the run, though he still managed to win, travelling really well, and then picking up down the outside like a proper horse. I think he looks set to improve massively from that. He's by DeBowie out of Oak's second Terfasha, which is a proper pedigree. I'm not mad about High Definition just yet. His current race couldn't be working out much worse at the moment. Now, it wasn't that long ago, so it potentially could, but yeah, I'm just not sure about it just yet. So yeah, Wakud for me.
Okay, thank you, gents. That's the ITV action done. I noticed in the race after the Beresford at the Curragh, the 3:50, which is the Renaissance Stakes, my lovely Summer Gand runs in that. I shall be backing him. Let's see what the rest of the boys will be backing in the rest of the Saturday. Don't give the naps away. DJ, what have you got for us?
A couple at the Curragh, Bruce. Just in that race you mentioned there, obviously Summergand, your beloved Summergand, runs in that 350. A horse that will be an absolute huge price, but I guarantee it'll run really well. And it could be worth backing, like, if they take a chance to put in a 50s or 66s. Lil Grey for Sheila Lavery. Now, Rory Cleary rides, which suggests it's the stable second string behind Prince of Naples. But I just thought Lil Grey ran an absolute cracker in that big handicap at the Curragh and Irish Champions weekend and travelled like a dream on ground that would have been quicker than ideal. When she won her maiden, it was much softer ground. And I think she wanted a little bit softer. Just loved the way she travelled in the race. It's a big ask, like saying the 50-1 shot is going to win this race. But I just think she'll run far better than her price suggests. So I'll be chancing Lil Grey in that. And in the opening race, I know Niall fancies Dermot Wells in the big one, the Beresford. But Kailash for Dermot and Oisin Orr in the opening maiden. I thought this was really eye-catching first time out at Naas. And it was a funny sort of a maiden day where the winner for John Grogan kind of got away on them. But Kailash, your typical kind of first time out, only 6-1 suggests the big things were expected. And just only started to get the job late and stayed on well under hands and heels from Oisin Orr. Dermot's have been making big progress from first to second start, like Aidan's. He's been leaving a little bit to work on. I think Kailash in the 12:50 at the Curragh could step up considerably on that debut effort at Naas and could be a bit of a price as well.
Okay, thanks, DJ. G-Rod, what have you got for us?
I've got three for you. In the 4:40 at Newmarket, there's a horse called Cry Havoc running in this one. And I've been quite impressed with the way this horse has been doing the business recently at Chelmsford. Really improving significantly. It's up £5 from last time. George Rook was claiming £5 as well last time. Ben Curtis is on this time. So effectively up £10. But, I mean, the Racing Post rating that she got last time was almost £10 higher than what she was running off. And she just looks like she's a really improving filly, Cry Havoc. I think she's having her first run on turf here, but she's by a War Command, and his progeny haven't got a bad record with plenty of cut in the ground, so I don't think that'll be an issue. And Ray Guest is really good with fillies, so that's the 4:40 at Newmarket, Cry Havoc. And then obviously on to Chelmsford itself, which is on tomorrow night, and in the 5:45. There's a very lightly raced horse in the race called Fair Man. And we've got Tim Clark taking over from £7 claimer Levi Williams in the saddle. And I thought that Levi might have gone a little bit too soon at the track last time out when he's behind Baston Hill, making sort of a big move to get up into second and then losing second inside the final furlong. I think you'll see a bit more of a patient ride from the more experienced Tim Clark in this one on Fair Man in the 5:45 at Chelmsford. And then also in the 8:15 at Chelmsford, probably the best bet of the night at Chelmsford for me, is Jorvik Prince, who's a course and distance winner and says he's best for this track, Mick Appleby's runner. And I thought bounced back to a bit of form last time out of Wolverhampton when narrowly beaten, only headed close home in a 5-furlong handicap there. He's only gone up £1, but this track suits him better than Wolverhampton, and he's got a good draw installed too. So that's Jorvik Prince in the 8:15 at Chelmsford.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. And you got through all that without reminding us that Chelmsford is your local track. Okay, Niall, what have you got for us?
I just have one. It's not necessarily a bet for tomorrow, though. 3:45 Haydock. Goshen makes his return. Now, he'd be quite short, I think towards 2-1 or something like that. And he should win easily off the mark. He's off 88. As I said, not really a betting proposition, but I see he's got an entry for the long distance cup at Ascot. And I presume this is prep for that, which I actually think he might have a very good chance. And if that race cuts up, like I think it might, we're 12-1. There could be bigger elsewhere, maybe, if you look for value. I think he'd make a mockery of his mark tomorrow and then potentially go off much shorter than the price he is currently for that race. So could be a bet for anti-post purposes.
That will be the last time Goshen ever goes off at anything near a double-figure price. It'll win that, it'll win the long-distance cup, it'll win the Melbourne Cup, it'll win the Champion Hurdle, and then it will win Gold Cups. It's a bloody superstar, and I cannot wait to see Goshen tomorrow. Thank you, chaps. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Right, we'll start with David Jennings.
Well, Bruce, I'm going to nap alcohol-free in the 2:25 at Newmarket, but I'm just intrigued. When we started this podcast at 12:30 on Friday, alcohol-free was 10-1 with Paddy Power. And I just checked there, and at 12:51, just around the time we were after previewing the race, and I told everybody why alcohol-free was going to win the Sheveley Park, Paddy Power cut it from 10-1 into 8-1. Which I thought was very interesting. That have anything to do with you, Niall?
Not sure what happened there, to be honest. It was an interesting case, though. I'll say that much.
Oh, you can't do that.
Believe that. You can't do that.
Unbelievable. I know. It was genuinely because of the non-runner.
No, you're a cheat. Go back to 10-1 until half an hour after this podcast is released, Niall. That's naughty, that. Mind you, O'Reilly. Mind you, I noticed also you've started lengthening G-Rod selections. That's even worse.
And what was quite funny there, and you didn't even notice it, you said Blimey O'Reilly, and his name is Niall O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah. So I did. Okay, so you're napping alcohol-free.
10-1. Alcohol-free, 10-1 with Paddy Power, yeah?
Yeah, 10-1. That'll be 10-1. Don't worry about that, listeners. And if it's not, you can tweet at David Jennings RP and let him know. G-Rod, who's your nap going to be?
I'm going to stick with the big race, the Cambridgeshire Derevo.
Okay, and that's the 3:35, isn't it? Niall, who's your nap?
I'll go 2:05 Haydock Milltown Star.
Lovely stuff, gentlemen. Now then, we've been spoiled with some stellar Sundays lately. This week isn't quite the same. We've got Chester, Musselburgh, Nottingham and the Curragh. No TV action, but let's see if the boys have sussed anything. We'll start with you, Graham. Have you got a Sunday sizzler for us?
Oh, yeah, you'll be very happy with this one, Bruce, because it's one for King Rafe.
Oh, excellent. Who is it?
1 o'clock at Nottingham, the nursery race there. He runs a horse called Fabulous, who is a Frankel foal. It's been quite highly tried. I mean, started off in a Newbury maiden and didn't run too badly. And then, built on that last time out when winning tidily at Chepstow. Now, this horse is bred to be a good bit better than a nursery performer. And, King Rafe, he runs a lot of his best juveniles at Nottingham. Making her debut there. And I think that he might have found a nice race here for the top weight, Fabulous, in the 1 o'clock at Nottingham.
Wow, and a King Rafe William Buick matchup. That you don't normally get that combo. Excellent, good tip there, G Rod. Follow that one, Niall.
Yeah, I have a double. There are two horses that my good friend and podcast tipster James Ryan is involved in, and he's tipped them both up to me on several occasions to the point that he nearly owes me money. The first one is the 2:30 Curra. It's Inflection Point. Now, James has told me quite a few times this horse works a lot better than its mark. He's been a bit disappointing at times, though. He really caught the eye at Navan last time, running on very strongly to finish second. The stiff 5 furlongs at the Curra should really suit. So, yeah, I think he'll go close. In the 5:20, then Pulse of Shanghai, another horse I've lost plenty of money on. He's dropped to a mark of 68, and this looks a very weak race. Last time at Dundalk, over 7 furlongs, he got caught too far back off a slow pace, though managed to run a really fast sectional. It was actually sub 35 seconds, which is not easily done at Dundalk for anyone interested in that. I think he looks well handicapped. Like I said, the step up to a mile should suit, and hopefully it'd be a decent price. So an each way double on those two.
Thanks, Niall. What have you got for us on Sunday, DJ?
I'm actually doing spotlights for the Curragh Card on Sunday. It's my shift today. In the 2 o'clock, the Group 3 Well Park Stakes. I think the ground is going to be absolutely perfect for No Speak Alexander, who was second to Monday, who runs in the Rockfell later. And that was on good ground at Leopardstown. It's crying out for softer ground. Was really impressive earlier on the season at Roscommon on bottomless ground. Rating 102, I think it'll take a very good filly to beat No Speak Alexander in the 2 o'clock at the Curragh. In the race Niall is talking about, the 2:30, the Joe McGrath handicap, he went for Inflection Point. I'm going to go for My Laureate, who has broken punters over the years, but there is definitely a big sprint handicap in her. I think the ground will be perfect. Last time at Navan, she was well beaten by a step too far, but she was one of the only ones to race out in the centre of the track on a day when, unusually at Navan, it suited horses that raced on the far rail. And she's been dropped a pound for that. And I think 5 furlongs at the Curragh, if she comes back to her form, previously at Cork when just beaten by Hartumi. I think she's well handicapped. And just one more later on in the card at the Curragh. It's actually a nice enough card. In the Sycamore Lodge Equine Hospital race at 4:15, Moran on ratings cannot win for Johnny Murta because it has to give £7 to Order of Australia, who is rated £7 better than Moran. But I just think with Moran, I don't think we've came close to seeing the best of this horse. Being given loads to do and big handicaps, flying home. Smaller field here, ground conditions ideal, a little bit softer than it was last time at Leopardstown. I think Moran is going to turn out to be a decent stayer, and I think he's going to be a value alternative to the favourite Order of Australia in the 4:15.
Great stuff, DJ. Thank you very much indeed, gents. That is a superb look ahead to what is going to be a cracking weekend. What are the weekend plans, Niall? What have you got on?
Well, we're in lockdown here in Dublin, so there's not a huge amount we can do. But yeah, I'll probably just Saturday night in. I'm off Sunday, so nothing
sit
major.
There, sit there drinking cans of lager and watching racing. That's basically it these days.
Story of the last 6 months. So yeah.
I know, DJ. What about you?
Well, I'm hoping to get some sleep. We've been like zombies here for the last 48 hours because Georgia picked this week just not to fancy sleeping. She just doesn't. She just thinks she's too cool for sleeping at the minute. So she's been up most of the week. Last night she slept a little bit better. So if she sleeps tonight now, I'd be more than happy. That's all I want from the weekend, Bruce. It's just for her to sleep for even 4 or 5 hours. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, is she teething?
Yeah, she is teething. Yeah. I've actually tasted Calpol for the first time since my childhood. And God, it's nice.
It's not bad, is it? The strawberry. Oh. Do you go with the strawberry variety or the?
I think
the,
there's only one, is there? Yeah.
I don't know. I see. It's a long time since I was trying to pour spoonfuls of Calpol down my children's chins. Mm. But yeah, no, it's not bad, is it? Okay, no, and you're not going racing, are you?
No, I'm on a new shift on Saturday, which is.
What's it like when you go? What's it like when you go racing these days? Because I mean, you know, in a sense, we're all jealous because we can't go, but it must be pretty soulless, isn't it?
No, it's terrible, Bruce. I've written, that's good English from a journalist. I've written about this so many times. It's hard to describe just how boring and soulless it is because it's like, I try and explain it to people. It's like working from your kitchen, just say is the press room or your sitting room. It's like working from the kitchen and then just going out into your back garden where there's nobody there. That's exactly what it's like. You're not meeting people. You're not talking to people. You can't go close to people. You're not hearing any sounds. You're not seeing anything. Obviously, if you go out, you know, and watch the races, you get to see the races. But it's not the same. It's just so quiet. No, it's not. It's not enjoyable at all.
No, and it seems like it's going to be a long time since we can go racing again. G-Rod, we're not quite in lockdown in London and the southeast yet. So are you going to get out and take advantage while we can?
Yeah, I probably will try to get out. I'm off on Saturday, so I'll probably try and get out. There's not, as I keep saying to everyone who asks me, there's not really that much you can do at the moment, is there? I know that we're not in lockdown, but you know, you can only really go to the park and do sort of bits and pieces like that. If you go to the shops, it's all a bit weird, isn't it? So yeah, it's a bit of a sad time, isn't it? But I'm sure that I'll try and get out. I could do with some sleep as well, really, because recently they've been digging up the road outside my house all night. They start at like 10 and they don't finish till 5 in the morning, and it's very loud. So some sleep would be nice too.
How on earth's that allowed? You can't do that. You live in, I presume you don't live by the M11 or anything.
Well, no, I don't live by the M11, but I do live right by the road that they're doing. But although I don't sleep because of it, I am actually quite happy they're doing it at night because it would be an absolute nightmare if they were doing it during the day. You wouldn't even be able to leave the house because the traffic would be so bad.
I wonder, Bruce, did they lay a deb last Saturday? Maybe that's why they're...
Oh, that's a very good shout. Normally they lay a new cable, but perhaps they laid a deb. That was pretty cruel, actually, DJ, bringing that one up. I mean, we've forgotten about that. And let's hope, DJ, as G-Rod bounces back with a load of winners this week, let's hope all your tips run well. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Thank you for listening. Maddie's back on Monday. We're back next weekend. Obviously, looking ahead to yet another fantastic... It's actually Art Weekend next week, isn't it? Blimey, alrighty. So we've got loads of great stuff to look forward to. So bet responsibly and keep it here for more great racing podcasts.